Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Junkyard Dogcast. I'm Jordan Hill. With me, as always, is Kip Adams, coming to you on a Tuesday, getting ready for Missouri week for Georgia, going on the road. Second trip to a Columbia in SEC East play this year, Kip. Kip, how is this Tuesday afternoon treating you so far?
The calm before the actual storm.
Literally.
Yeah, here we are. Here we are. I'm just not worried about getting any yard work done right now. Just gonna let the rain come in and see how it goes. It's I don't know. It's that time of year, I guess. It's hurricane season, and I see a lot of games already being affected. But Georgia, I don't think they're gonna have to worry about that because they're traveling to that wonderful southeastern location in Missouri. Should be pretty far away from Hurricane Ian. So I think, we can prepare to watch a regular old football game Saturday night.
Yeah, based on what Kirby Smart said last night, or I guess that was yesterday afternoon, doesn't expect any kind of changes as far as travel, which is good news. And obviously want everybody staying safe with all this weather. I'm sure there's probably a bunch of Georgia fans listening and watching this who could be affected. Everybody stay safe during these next few days. Kip, let's just jump into the conversation this week. I kind of want to start looking back at that Kent State game and then talking a little bit about Missouri, talking about some of the players Georgia's hoping to get back, and then kind of closing this episode with a big announcement as far as Georgia's recruiting is concerned tonight, with a four-star wide receiver, Tyler Williams, making his announcement. But let's go back to Saturday. Kip, kind of a surprising showing. Georgia, a 45-point favorite. Kind of hangs around, lets Kent State hang around. Three turnovers in that 39-22 victory over the Kent State Golden Flashes. And I know you talked about this on the post-game podcast, but what sort of stuck out to you about that performance, or even things, a couple days after the fact, two, 3 days after the fact, still kind of lingering with you as far as how that game played out?
Well, as I said, it's never as great as it seems. It's never as bad as it seems. And you go back and you kind of look at the score. It's not indicative of really how Georgia's defense played overall. You look at Kent State's first three possessions, it was 10 plays, 2 yards, and they only got a field goal because of the muff punt. And you look at last year, the narrative was that Georgia's offense has benefited greatly by the defense that would give them short fields and advantageous situations. And I think this year you're kind of seeing maybe the defense buoyed a little bit by the offense, making the other teams one-dimensional, being efficient, and putting the defense in good situations. But Saturday, that's not what happened. Georgia put its defense at some precarious spots, and there wasn't something they had experience with. And so you kind of saw Kent State take advantage of that. I think, if it's not for three turnovers, drop touchdown, we're looking at, 43-12 as a possible score. It's just a kind of a different viewpoint. And, if things went how people, kind of thought it would. At the end of the day, Georgia did not have to punt in this game. The defense didn't allow first down until less than 7 minutes left in the second quarter, and they outgained them 529 yards to 281. And so overall, I think Georgia still did what they needed to do. And as Kirby Smart said, I mean, this is what Georgia needed. Kirby Smart gets a gift this week, and he's able to go back. And as I said in the post-game reaction, now he gets to go back and give them probably one of the more difficult in-season practice weeks of the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to hear what some of the players, when they talk tonight, have to say about the start of this week. Because to your point, I think it's going to be a pretty big test for some of those guys. They're going to push those guys. And yeah, I mean, I think Kip, and I kind of wrote about this today, I wrote about sort of the game Ladd McConkey had, and obviously talked a lot about, you know, his teammates supporting him and kind of helping him through that. But, you know, looking back at the way that game started, there was absolutely a setup for Georgia to build a big lead in that game. I mean, first two drives for Kent State, nothing doing. Three and outs, and wasn't particularly close to converting either one of those. Georgia offense had gone down in two plays. You know, Brock takes that handoff and goes 75 yards. But you just see what turnovers can do to a game. I mean, it sort of was the, you know, equalizer, especially early in that first half, that allowed Kent State to stay in contention. And, you know, credit to the way Kent State went about playing that game. You know, I was kind of struck after the game. You know, the talk going into that game was how Kent State runs a different looking defense. It's usually a three-man front, a 3-3-5 look, and they really didn't run it a ton. They did not use that a ton, and Kirby said that they were kind of surprised by that. And I think that kind of threw them for a loop, at least early on, as they were trying to adjust. But, you know, I think when you look at this game, I know a lot of people were frustrated. You know, I'm thinking back to the live thread as that game was going on. A lot of people had thoughts about what was going on and, you know, stuff to say. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, a blowout would have been nice. But I think there's a lot of positives you can take away from this experience. I thought, you know, some of the people on the beat were really smart to point out that that game was the most fourth quarter reps this season that guys like Stetson have gotten, that the offensive line has gotten. I mean, you know, the heat is still kind of a factor at this point in the year. I mean, it's starting to feel like fall, but, you know, we're still having 90, 95 degree games. There can be a lot of benefits to take from the fact that those starters had to keep playing and that they got to see how those guys handle those fourth quarter reps. I thought that Georgia's last drive was a good sign and just them being able to hold on to the ball. You know, I went back and listened to Stetson Bennett talking after the game, and he said, I told my teammates this drive is either going to end with a touchdown or we're not giving the ball up. And again, I know who the opponent was. You know, it's a group of five team. Georgia's got more talent. But to be able to go out there and do that, to hold on to the ball, especially when Georgia was running the ball because they had to run the clock and Kent State knew they were going to run the ball, they still had a good amount of success. So on the whole, I can understand people being disappointed with how that game played out. The fact that it was not the 45-point win that, you know, a lot of people were projecting going into it, but still a lot to take away that can help Georgia as it goes forward and tries to get where it wants to go, which is to be a playoff contender once again.
Yeah, I think you mentioned the fact that Kent State did not come out in the defense Georgia expected them to. You can kind of see that Georgia's game plan was a little different than what we had seen the rest of the season. They made it a point to try to throw the ball downfield and make plays downfield. And again, you have to look and see some of the guys that aren't, you know, able to play right now. No A.D. Mitchell, no Arian Smith. That makes that type of game plan a little bit tougher for Georgia to run. These downfield throws to Ladd McConkey, he's a guy that, you know, you tends to benefit on the quicker strikes and short yardage plays to be able to make plays with the balls in his hands. Then you had Marcus Roseme, Jack Saint, not stopping the turnaround on that comeback route that the Kent State quarterback, credit to him, he made a play and picked it off. But you saw that, you know, when Georgia's trying to throw the ball downfield, it helps to have the guys who are actually, that's their strength and that's what they bring to the table. And then on the other side of the ball, I mean, you look at the fact that no Jalen Carter out there, that shows that there's room for improvement for Georgia stopping the run. They definitely made it a point to account for quarterback Colin Schley's ability to run, just like they did with Bo Nix earlier this year. I mean, you could tell that they were accounting for him. They were not going to let him beat them with his legs. But at the same time, you got to have that outside contain. And I think it was a learning experience, especially for, you know, a younger starter like Kamari Lassiter. And he's going to be able to take this and learn from this experience. And, I mean, again, there's some young guys on the field for Georgia's defense right now. This is a positive for them. And I don't see it as a negative or something that, you know, this is going to continue happening. This is experience-based issues out there. So I think, like you said, there is a lot to take from it. I know people are looking at still the run game. You have to notice at this point that it's being used as a complement to the passing attack, which is kind of what people wanted. And at the same time, we still have to go back to that one stat where the running backs this year still are averaging, you know, more yards per carry than the running backs did at the same time last year. So right now you have a couple, you know, you have some other guys running the ball that you typically don't, with a guy like Brock Bowers and obviously Stetson Bennett in there running the ball as well. But the actual running backs are still outperforming the running backs from last season so far this year. So I would not say it's an issue yet. It just isn't a dominant run game, because for a little bit, that's by design. That's just the way that they're attacking opposing defenses right now.
Yeah, and to that point with the run game, I was kind of struck. One, I was surprised we got Kenny McIntosh yesterday to talk to, because he kind of got banged up, and that was going to be a question going into Missouri. And, well, he walked out there, and we said, how are you feeling? He's like, I'm fine. I'll be good to go. He said a lot of ice baths. But talking about the run game, you know, he was asked about what's sort of been a lack of explosive plays. You know, so far this year, there has been one run by a Georgia running back that has gone over 20 yards, and was Kendall Milton for 27 mm-hmm. on Saturday. And so Kenny was asked about that, and he said, you know, that he feels confident that those are coming. He really emphasized patience, you know, following blocks, you know, seeing those holes and being able to figure out when to go and which way to go. But, you know, I thought that kind of struck me, just him saying that and sort of explaining that he's still got a lot of confidence. And, you know, I made sure and asked him about Dejon Edwards, who, I don't know how you felt, Kip. He impressed me the most of the running backs on Saturday. I mean, he runs so hard and ran over guys, you know, kept the pile moving forward when he was hit. You know, saw a little bit of Branson Robinson near the end of that game. But, you know, I think, you know, people are concerned about the run game. I think the way they are using it as part of this offense, understanding what they've got in the passing game, understanding, you know, that they can utilize guys like Brock Bowers. And then when he does get healthy, A.D. Mitchell as well, I still think they're sitting pretty as far as what this run game can be and what it can do and what's left of the season.
Yeah, and again, new starters at left guard and right guard, and rotating those guys in and out as well. I remember Xavier Trusk rotated out, and they put Devin Millick in there, rotated back in on the next drive, I believe. And yeah, here we are, Kendall Milton, four games in, leading the team in rushing yards right now at a healthy 5.6 yards per carry. Nothing wrong with that, and obviously, yes, Edwards, you know, as far as effort and as far as getting every yard he can, Dejon Edwards definitely is that guy for Georgia right now, and he's almost at 6 yards to carry for him. So he's impressed as well. And Kenny McIntosh making more plays in the passing game right now than as a running back between the tackles. It's still, I mean, something that he can improve on as well. You know, he's never been, you know, that number one, number two guy in an offense either. So again, there's a learning curve here. Georgia's schedule, as we said before the season, it kind of helps them, because as you look at, you know, even this week, but this month, Georgia's not expected to be tested a lot. This is an area where they can, you know, continue to improve and gain confidence and get better in some areas as they gain experience for that back half of the schedule, which, you know, there's some teams that are playing pretty good football out there that Georgia's going to be playing in those last three or four games of the season.
Thought it was a good point made by Bryson Hood in the comments. 257 rush yards last Saturday, no reason to worry. And to kind of back that up, I mean, that's essentially what Kirby Smart said. I think that might have been on Monday. Was just asked about the running game, specifically, you know, up the middle, you know, between the tackles. And he was like, we hit our rushing goals, you know. And he pointed out sort of what I was talking about a few minutes ago, that Kenny McIntosh was talking about, was we want to see more explosive plays, but we're still running the ball like we wanted to see and want to continue having success in that way.
Who are we kidding? Brock Bowers is the best running back on the team right now. The best overall player right now for Georgia. And I think that's established that Todd Monken's going to get him the ball however he can. Don't put a label on him as a position. He's going to line him up, move him around. I don't think Brock Bowers knows what position he plays at this point. And he's just going to line up. He's going to look and see what the play call is and make big plays. And it's just truly impressive. He continues to do, you know, exactly what he did last year. No sophomore slump for him so far. He is a truly special player.
Let's talk about that, Kip, before we take a break, because I think it's a legitimate question. And Jacob Hudson asked it in the comments. What would it take for Brock to be on the watch list for the Heisman? Still early in the year, and obviously a lot of football left to be played. But I did see today, I believe it was The Athletic, of sort of their straw poll. They had him second, and I believe it was to Jalen Daniels, the quarterback at Kansas, who's had a fantastic start to the year. But I'll kind of give my read on it, you know, what has to happen, not necessarily where things stand right now. But I think it's just got to be consistent playmaking like we've seen so far. And I think the fact that they use him in so many different ways will help if he is legitimately going to have a chance at being in this conversation. I mean, the fact that they can, you know, hand him the ball, you know, the fact that obviously he can go down and catch the ball and make plays in that part of the game. I think you're going to have to see a lot of production, because as much as, you know, it comes down to guys being the best player on their team, the stats are going to matter. But I think he's got to continue to be a really big force in the passing game. And again, I think it helps if they continue to run him a little bit. I don't know. Maybe you keep that yards per carry that he's rocking right now. It's probably something outrageous. But that's sort of my thought. I think that he has to be, if he's going to have a legitimate chance at this, you know, being really in the conversation as we get into November, December, I think he's absolutely got to be Georgia's top receiver, probably in both receiving yards and touchdowns, which isn't unfathomable. I mean, I think that that will have a chance of happening, especially depending on how long A.D. Mitchell is out. That would probably help as far as stats are concerned. But, you know, you never say never with this stuff. I think the fact that Devontae Smith won the Heisman at wide receiver when it had been, what, since like the 80s that a receiver had won the Heisman, I'd say it helps. And, you know, I always think someone on offense has got a better chance of winning it than, say, you know, a defensive player, because we've had those conversations before. But, Kip, what's sort of your read on it? What do you feel like has to happen for this talk about Brock maybe being looked at as a potential Heisman candidate for that to continue past September?
Well, it's been, I think, 73 years since a tight end won the Heisman. And I think there's only been two ever to win the Heisman.
That's
so we're talking about.
That's two more than I would have expected, but yeah.
We're talking about Yale, Notre Dame, 1936, like I believe 1949. It was a different era then, and definitely a different era for the tight end position. But to your other point, I mean, he's averaging 27.3 yards per carry right now. And I think for him to get an invite to New York, he's a little under that curve right now. I think for one, I mean, Georgia's got to make sure that they get to play some extra games for him to be able to, you know, to make that case for everyone. I think he's got to have over 1600 yards from scrimmage and probably going to have closer to 20 touchdowns than 15. I mean, I think if he's got 17 or 18 touchdowns scored and 1730 yards from scrimmage, he's got a chance to go to New York, whether or not he wins it. I mean, it really depends on whether these quarterbacks, whether Caleb Williams, whether Bryce Young, you know, how do they perform over the rest of the year and how their teams perform? Because if they're, you know, if they're playing postseason football and, you know, they're performing like everyone expects them to over the rest of the year, they're probably going to be the front runners. It's always been a quarterback award. You really just have to have, you know, somewhat average play at that position and someone to break out. If there's anyone who can do it, it's obviously Brock Bowers. He's an outstanding player and he's got an offensive coordinator not afraid to get him the ball however he can. So he's got a chance. I think he's a little bit under the curve right now. He probably needs to be closer to 450 yards from scrimmage right now through four games. So he's going to have those opportunities. He's going to be needed a lot more, you know, in a couple of these games this year. And that could also be a factor. How much is Brock Bowers playing in the fourth quarter in football games this year? I mean, again, we saw it last year. It's a product of how good Georgia is. I know we're coming off a game where they had to play well into the fourth quarter, but that has not been the norm for Georgia the last 2 years. And so the schedule, there's not a lot of teams that we think will push them into the fourth quarter. So, again, we think last Saturday, you know, was not the norm. It was an aberration. And I think that I don't know if Brock Bowers is going to play enough snaps and be needed enough. But if he is, I mean, is that something Georgia fans want? Do they want close games in the fourth quarter, or do they want Brock Bowers padding stats? I don't think you can have both. I think Kirby Smart, Brock Bowers, and Georgia fans would probably prefer that he's not needed in the fourth quarter and he's not in New York because Georgia's winning by 3 touchdowns the rest of the season.
And before we go to break, I'll just say, too, what will help him is to have a Heisman moment. You know, if Georgia finds itself in some of these tight games, you know, that he comes through and makes a play when they're playing a Tennessee or a Florida or a Kentucky games that we think could be closer than some of these other ones, that will certainly help his cause if he's going to be a name that we are still talking about. So we will take a quick break, come back, talk a little bit about injury updates, getting ready for Missouri, and then talk about a big announcement that is coming for a Georgia target later tonight.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, yeah, let's talk a little bit about the injury situation for Georgia. Basically, if you don't know what an injury is for a player, you can basically guess that it's an ankle at this point. There's been several of those right now. Arian Smith actually was dressed out and went through warmups on Saturday, did not play. Kirby talked a little bit about that on Monday and said that, you know, he's starting to run some. I don't think he's quite started, you know, stopping and planting while he's running. So it sounds like he's working toward being back. Kirby did say that he felt like Arian Smith was a little bit ahead of A.D. Mitchell, who's also dealing with an ankle injury. Though Kirby was quick to say that A.D. could be back this week. A.D. was out there during warmups, but he was not dressed out on Saturday against Kent State. And then the other one is Jalen Carter, who, if I'm not mistaken, the only time I saw him on the field was at fullback against Kent State. He was in there for a play. Been dealing with an ankle injury. Kirby said that he felt like that Jalen was better last week than he had been as far as coming back from that ankle, kind of dealing with that. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how Georgia handles this on Saturday. You're going on the road. You're playing a Missouri team that just got off. Kip, I don't know if you watched any of that Auburn game. It has to go down as one of the worst games ever played in probably college football history. Just completely ugly. Missouri literally handed the game to Auburn. It's going to be really intriguing to me how they go about getting these guys back if they decide to hold off, try to let these guys heal up again. My guess right now is that Arian Smith may play as they try to work him back, but I could totally see them, with all three of these guys, trying to take it easy, going the conservative route in a game that, you know, necessarily I don't see them needing any of these three guys to get out of Columbia with a win.
I don't see any of them making the trip. I mean, I think they have, you know, some other guys at wide receiver they could still take. Again, getting Dylan Bell working in there more. You have Marcus Roseme Jack saying you got Dominic Blaylock, who's continuing to work his way back into the rotation. I don't think this is a game where you should need these guys. And honestly, I mean, at this point, you look at the schedule, you look at the Auburn game, and I did watch a little bit of that game. It was pretty ugly. Neither team deserved to win that game. So does Georgia need these guys before Florida at this point? I mean, at this point, if you're getting them on the field, you're getting them on the field just to get them snaps again. And so I'm not sure they do that on the road with the limited roster. You take a guy that you might not be able to really help you if you need them to. So you look at those two home games, you look at Auburn and Vandy, maybe they just start to mix them in slowly over those games. But if they're not ready, no, I see the bye week right there. gives them time to get ready for, you know, that Florida game, an improved Florida team, one that, again, in Jacksonville, it's always going to be a big-time game for Georgia. So it is crazy to think that I'm looking at the Auburn game and wondering if they rest these guys against them, but that's kind of where that Auburn roster is right now. They are hurting there. Things are not, going great. But yeah, for this week, I don't see it. I see they rest these guys. This is a game that Georgia should be, heavily favored in. I believe, 3-touchdown favorite. That it should be one that, Georgia takes care of business, rotates their guys in and continues just to work on getting these guys healthy for what should be some closer games later in the season.
Everyone who forgot, Georgia won this game 43-6 last year, obviously a new year, but still looks like Georgia is going to be a heavy favorite. We talked about the injuries. I want to make sure we talk about two Georgia's options at the star position. For those who are listening who may not have saw on Sunday, Javon Bullard was arrested. We don't know what his status is going forward. Kirby Smart was asked about that on Monday, said it was going to be handled internally. So we don't know necessarily if he is not going to play on Saturday against Missouri. I'm of the belief, this is not me reporting, this is just me speculating, he will not play in that game. What do you think, Kip, is the best route that Georgia goes and fill in that position? I've kind of weighed a few different options, and I wrote a story this morning about it. In my head, what I expect to see is Chris Smith move down from the safety spot to the star position, and Dan Jackson be out there with Malachi Starks at safety. What do you think is the best route or just the route that Georgia may go if Javon Bullard is not able to go Saturday?
I mean, that move makes sense just because Chris Smith's versatile. He's played all these positions before, and, you're not going to lose as much when you do that. I think, Tyke Smith's going to get a chance. It depends on what he looks like this week in practice. He's still not all the way, back to form. He's not up to speed. You got to play at a certain speed to be able to get significant snaps in this defense. And, he could play the star position, but as far as playing up to Georgia standards, he's not there yet. That's no knock on him. It's just, again, coming back from a major injury. He tore that ACL last October, so it has not been a full year, but you can play in there if you need to. So I think he's going to get snaps there. I know they mentioned Marcus Washington as well, a young guy, but I think right now what you have to do is put your, the guys that you can depend on the most on the field right now. And I agree with you. I think Chris Smith gives them the best chance to play up to Georgia's standards and to play fast against a Missouri team that, again, they're kind of backed up against the wall right now. They're going to try to attack Georgia in the passing game. And so I think Georgia needs to be ready, firing all cylinders in that secondary. And Dan Jackson is, playing better football, and Chris Smith played really well too. So I like that group. Maybe Dalen Everett's able to get in there a little bit as well. I mean, they have guys, they're just young back there. So I just think right now the easiest thing for them to do is to make that move with Chris Smith, the star for right now.
Injury question in the comments, is CJ Smith injured? Jordan, if I'm remembering correctly, I think during fall camp he got a little banged up. I don't know if it's something that's lingering, but it was kind of hard to kind of decipher sometimes with these true freshmen. I think it's just sort of a situation where guys like Dylan Bell have sort of emerged, may have kind of a heads up denial on Morissette as well. But something to keep an eye on too. CJ was a guy that speedster that people are really excited about with what he could bring and what he can eventually do in this offense. Speaking of wide receivers, Georgia has a big announcement they're going to be watching tonight at 7 p.m. Four-star Tyler Williams is going to announce where he is going to college. It seems like at this point it's either going to be Georgia or Miami. Kip, what is your read on what Tyler Williams brings to the table for whoever he signs with? And if you feel so bold as to predict where you think he's going to wind up, let us know where you think he's going to go.
I know that these don't really mean what they used to, but I had a crystal ball pick in for Georgia on June 28th for Tyler Williams. But in the NIL era, it's right up to the announcement, but it's really right up to when they sign as far as how predictions work at this point. But Tyler Williams has been, you know, maybe not the top, if not the top guy, right in that top two or three as far as Georgia's wide receiver targets this entire cycle. And he's a guy that made the switch from quarterback to wide receiver. So still a new position for him, but he's also an outstanding basketball athlete. He's got a couple offers in basketball. 6'3", played last year at 200. I think he's up to 206, 207 now. Added some good weight. He's a strong wide receiver prospect. A guy that can, I mean, he can legitimately go up and get the football. I think right now, when the ball is in his hands, he's one of the most dangerous wide receivers in the country. And so, you know, you look and see what a guy like A.D. Mitchell can do. You see what Georgia likes to do at its outside receiver position. This is exactly what Georgia's looking for. And Brian McClendon, coming in first year at Georgia, the wide receiver coach, looks to be building a pretty good group. If he's able to land Tyler Williams, you know, he's got three outstanding wide receiver prospects on board with Raymond Cottrell and the guy they flipped from Penn State, the speedster, Yazid Haynes. They got guys that kind of bring different skill sets to the table. Still going to look for and see if they can get a fourth wide receiver. But I like where Georgia sits right now with Tyler Williams because of what Brian McClendon's done, the relationship he built with Tyler early on in the process. He locked in on him and his guy, and I think he's going to land him Tuesday night and give Georgia their 20th commitment this cycle and the number two recruiting class in the country right now. So still Georgia continues to not do very poorly in the recruiting area. I know that that's always an issue over the summer, and then in the fall it usually tends to work itself out here. But like I said, you got to wait until these guys sign. But I think tonight Georgia gets good news. And I think Georgia fans should be really excited about Tyler Williams. I like what he brings to the table.
That would obviously be a big win for Brian McClendon, and really this entire staff to be able to get a guy with that amount of talent. Obviously, wide receiver was a position a lot of people were concerned with going into this 2023 cycle and understanding the need for Georgia, and Tyler Williams, if he does wind up signing with Georgia, would fill a big hole as far as that's concerned. Be sure, if you're listening to this, watching this live, to keep an eye out for that announcement tonight. If he does commit to Georgia, you can keep an eye out that, you know, Kip and I both will have stories, I'm sure, talking about Tyler Williams and what he brings to Georgia if he, in fact, does sign with the Bulldogs, does commit to the Bulldogs. But we're going to wrap it up there. Appreciate Kip for hopping on. Appreciate all you guys who are tuning in live, everybody listening to this after the fact. Appreciate the support. Appreciate you guys being on and taking time to listen and to watch us as we talk and get ready for another week of SEC football. So we're going to wrap it up right there. For Kip Adams, I am Jordan Hill. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. And until next time, take care.
Go Braves.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate. Available now.